And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope everything is going well for you today. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I know that God has good things in store for you because that's who he is. You know, we've been looking in my church at some of the core principles that Christians ought to live by. And of course, one of those is love. And the Bible reminds us in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is, it says, whosoever does not love is not of God, because God is love. And you know, I can tell you that at the most difficult moments of my life, when it's kind of hard to wind your way through the maze of things that you might be thinking about or things that you might have to try to deal with, I always come back to that principle. God is love, and he loves me. You know, if you're listening right now and you're facing any kind of problem, any kind of issue, you need to be reminded, God loves you. You know, I like to put it this way sometimes. You know, God's got a thing for you. You know? You are the apple of his eye. I mean, he's numbered every hair on your head. And, you know, some people say he's counted, but I say, no, what the scripture says, he's numbered, which means he knows hair number 371 from hair number 5,253, if we've still got that many. So, you know, that means he has been running his fingers through your hair all of your existence, and he loves you, and he wants the very best for you, and he's going to help you. You know, I always come back to this and say, I know God loves me. I know God wants to help me. He wants to help me. I make sure I'm not getting in his way. And I know God can help me. After all, he has all power in his hands, and he faces no challenge that is hard. There's nothing he faces that causes God to scratch his chin and go, I just don't know what we're going to do about this one. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so I know he can help me. But this is the kicker, and this is where I think sometimes we tend to get a little bit, distracted or discouraged or off on the wrong track. And that is this: he will help me. He will help me. No, not just that he can, not just that he wants to, but that he will. He will help me. And you know, that is absolutely true. God will help you. All you need to do, the Bible says, cast not away your confidence, which has great reward. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. He's going to help you. In fact, you know, he's already helping you. You just can't see it. It may be beyond your ability to discern, but God is already moving in a whole variety of ways to be a blessing to you. So I just want to encourage you in that regard, because we're living in a crazy world, folks, and it just seems to get crazier and crazier. You know, today, the NASDAQ just came down. I don't know whether you all caught this, but the NASDAQ just came down with a whole variety of rules for its businesses. It's got over 3,000 businesses listed on the NASDAQ. You know, the NASDAQ started off as a quotation service and, of course, ultimately became a trading service for over-the-counter trading. But they have decided that they are going to impose upon their businesses the requirement that on their board of directors, they have at least one woman and, get this now, and, or at least one woman and one racial minority or someone who self-identifies as a lesbian, gay, transgender, or queer. That's from NASDAQ. That's from NASDAQ, folks. That's from some of the premier companies in our country. That's from the exchange that, not from those companies, the exchange that those companies buy and sell stock on. But notice the way they equate this. It can be a racial minority or someone who self-identifies as lesbian, gay, transgender, or queer. So you got to have at least one woman, and you have at least one of something else. Now, first of all, I cannot tell you how much I abhor the concept of affirmative action as it has been propagated in our culture, among our intelligentsia, and because it does several really, really, really bad things. And to me, the first thing it does is it robs the very people you claim to be helping of the thing that is most needed, which is respect of others, that you have gone through the same process, you have met the same standards, you have paid the same price as anyone else seeking whatever the role is, the job is, the position is that you're seeking. Not that somehow you were snuck in the back door, you weren't really qualified, but we needed one of you, so here you are. You can perhaps get a position, but you can't get respect that way. So to me, if you are really concerned about helping people who you consider to not have the same level of opportunity, the very best thing you could do is work on equality of opportunity. And we'll never get there. That's never going to be a perfect situation. But you keep working to expand opportunity to make sure that people can take advantage of it. And then you leave it to the individuals to summon up their initiative, their energy, their determination, their courage, their fortitude to go after the things that they want in life. That's the way freedom works. Not this top-down, well, you got to have one of these and one of these. And if you have one of these, and by the way, they told the companies that, or they're proposing, I don't know whether this is taking effect as of yet, but they're proposing, if you don't have one of these and one of these, then you've got to explain yourself to us. You've got to justify why you are such a Neanderthal and such a barbarian that you don't understand the need to have these affirmative action quotas. It is despicable. But that's one reason. But the second reason it's so bad is it just further feeds into the division in our culture already. It pits people against one another. So you don't get the position because you are the most qualified for it. You get the position because we need one of you. And the person who is the most qualified for it doesn't get the position because that person wasn't of the right skin color, that person wasn't of the right gender, that person wasn't of the right LGBTQ plus status. So, you know, how did I morph from God loves us into this? Because when you see this kind of stuff that you know is like a cancer in society, and you see it happening at the highest levels of our, even of the private sector buying into this stuff, you just kind of shake your head and go, what in the world is going on here? You know, business used to be conservative. Business used to be a place where traditional values were upheld. Now business has gone right into the status of, we're woke too. Don't leave us out, we're woke too. And it is an abomination. Stand by, folks, we'll be back.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
James Meigs, writing in the City Journal, talks about what he calls the chump effect. He's not the first to use the phrase. Andrew Ferguson coined the phrase years ago to deal with a different issue, but James Meigs uses it to illustrate how many of us feel like chumps when we follow the rules and see others succeed when they break the rules. You know the feeling that he describes. You're inching forward in the freeway exit lane, and another driver flies past and swerves onto the ramp at the last second. Your child has to complete her college entrance exams within a designated time period, while your neighbor's child gets twice as long because of a suddenly diagnosed learning disability. You pay extra to have your pet travel in the airplane's cargo hold, and then sit across from a yipping dog who gets to ride on an owner's lap because it is an emotional support animal. He reminds us that thousands of norms, rules, and traditions make civilized life possible. Some, like paying taxes and not littering, are enshrined in law. Most of us follow the standards of etiquette and certainly follow the law. But here are some important questions. What happens when more and more people break the rules? What happens when political leaders break their own rules? These are no longer hypothetical questions. Governors and mayors have been caught violating their edicts, and most of them merely try to justify their actions. A number of district attorneys have decided not to prosecute people who don't pay transit fares and not prosecute shoplifters who steal less than a few $100. Those of us who follow the rules will start feeling like chumps, and it's only a matter of time before more and more of us start wondering why we play by the rules. If those guys don't have to play by the rules, why should we? This is a prescription for anarchy and lawlessness. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
I'm Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word since 1938 at only $5 a Bible. You know, before the COVID-19 restrictions came, I visited Papua, Indonesia, where I met Pastor Tandi. He had befriended a witch doctor, a man that was all about black magic, sorcery, voodoo, I mean, all that spiritual darkness, right? And he began to unfold the gospel for this man, eventually inviting him to an evangelistic crusade. The man showed up, not by himself, but with 120 of his apprentices, women and men learning to be witch doctors. And would you know it, having heard the gospel plainly and powerfully preached that night, they bent the knee to Jesus, and they're learning what it means to be new creations in Christ, but they live where it's virtually impossible to get a Bible. Learn how you can be a blessing to these former witch doctors, new creations in Christ, by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Brian Fisher here. More evidence of massive voter fraud so brazen it will blow you away, including evidence that over 200,000 filled-out ballots were shipped by truck from New York to Philadelphia. Biden's new press secretary was photographed wearing a hat with a hammer and sickle. Obama blasts Dems for not listening to AOC. And James O'Keefe exposes CNN next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to try to get your calls in as quickly as I can, but... So that's part of the problem with this hypocrisy of trying to slice and dice the American people into categories to keep them divided against one another so that the elites can just continue to sort of see themselves as morally superior to the rest of us. And it's exasperating. And so I said there were really three reasons. One is it denigrates, affirmative action denigrates the people it claims to help. But secondly, it divides us in a way that is very, very unhealthy for the future of this country. I'm convinced of that. But you know, the third thing is that it and I've got a guest here now. Let me just finish this thought and I'll come right to my guest. But the third thing is that it suppresses the inner drive of people to do for themselves and to strive and to work. I'll come back to that in a second. But look, before we get on to other discussions, we've got a very important discussion that we need to have, and I've been looking forward to this. We're going to discuss, of course, the Christmas season is upon us. We want to discuss Christmas Child and a tremendous Bible study that is being led by Hannah. Hannah, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, listen, Hannah, you're doing some great work. Tell us exactly what it is you're going to be doing to help children this Christmas season.
Well, this Christmas season, as well as throughout the year, I have the privilege of working with the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program, which is a follow-up program offered to children who receive Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. And so I get to play a very small role in a very large effort that is on track to disciple over 4 million children this year alone.
Wow. That is really exciting. And how is it that you've gotten involved in this? And because this is a wonderful thing. Children right now are really the subject of a lot of competition for their hearts and minds. How did you get involved in doing this very, very important work?
Well, the Lord is definitely the one who leads us and points us in the direction that he wants us to go and prepares us for that. I would say, for years I was in children's ministry here in the United States and really loved that opportunity, but really saw very clearly the need for children to not just be taught about God, but truly be taught to know him. And to recognize and identify the fact that, children have a great capacity, not just to learn, but to really have a personal, deep, and growing relationship with the Lord. In fact, of course, God's word tells us that unless we become like little children, we will never see the kingdom of heaven. And so it was through kind of that passion, through learning about the work of Operation Christmas Child, through being a volunteer myself, kind of the Lord led me into a role where now I get to work with a team that helps to bring not only the gospel, but then the follow-up discipleship program to children all over the world.
Well, it's a very, very important role, particularly today. I mean, it's always been important, but in this day and time where we see so many things coming at children, I often say to my church that I don't have to face some of the challenges that children today face. I mean, there's mm-hmm. always going to be challenges in life, but these days with social media and popular culture, and there's just so much coming at them. This is such mm-hmm. an important work. How can people help? How can people be a part of this and encourage this and support it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, so many of your listeners I know have participated with us before in either packing a shoebox in person or even packing a shoebox online. It's not too late. You can head to our website, SamaritansPurse.org, and be able to pack a shoebox virtually this year, which is pretty great. But also, we also have the opportunity to support this follow-up discipleship program. For $6, a child will receive 12 lessons taught by a local believer from their community, from their language, from their culture. We come alongside to partner with and equip local believers to teach these children, to disciple them, to love them, and to point them towards Jesus. Not just the head knowledge, but the heart connection, right? And to do that, and then when these children graduate, they receive a Bible of their own in their own language. And so it costs us $6 for all of the resources for that child, for the teacher that will teach them, mm-hmm. and then also for the Bible that would be in their own language. So that we are looking for people to partner with us to help out in this huge endeavor to reach children this year. Because as you said, this year more than ever, kids need hope. And we believe that hope is found through Jesus. Hope is found in the gospel.
Amen. And I'll tell you something, for $6 to be able to accomplish that much, I mean, that's a wonderful seed to be sowing. And I'm sure there are people who will want to do that on a multiple basis and help as many children as they can. Now, can they do that by going to our website, afr.net?
Yes, absolutely. So they can call in to your number there, 877-616-2396, or donate online at AFR.net. Yes, both of those are great options. Multiples of six, you know, $6 or, you know, 60 is going to reach 10 kids, or 100, 150 is going to reach 25 children, a whole classroom full of children who are going to have the opportunity to not just hear the gospel, but to have 12 weeks of true discipleship training and equipping and receive a Bible in their own language.
And you know, Hannah, it's interesting that you bring this up, because at this particular time, because at my church, I'm teaching on discipleship right now. And I said, Jesus didn't go and say, make converts, make confessors, make church attenders. He said, make disciples, because if you make disciples, all of that will fall into place. So it's good that you're actually involved in helping disciple these children. And that's what they're going to need to resist all the things that are going to be coming at them as they grow up, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. And, you know, knowledge is one thing, and that's obviously very important for us to be well-informed and to have knowledge, but you're absolutely right. You know, what we really also need is heart, right? That passion for the Lord, that love for him that comes from knowing him personally. And that's what discipleship does. It doesn't say, here's everything you need to know about God. It says, here is how knowing God can transform who you are and who you become in the world.
Amen. Learning to live in intimate relationship with him, like you said, not just having some head knowledge, not just knowing some scriptures that you memorize, but actually having an intimate relationship with him, which brings all of the knowledge that you might have alive for you, because then you can apply it in your life and watch it work to make your life better and to make it possible to navigate this world in a more effective way, a wiser way. So this is absolutely wonderful. My wife and I are going to help with this, because we have a heart for children. We have a school in our church, and we have a heart for children, and we just know that the world would just love to gobble them up, and we need to be about the business of trying to usher them into the kingdom of God, so that they find out that God loves them and has a great plan for their lives. So, and I just couldn't be more gratified by the tremendous work that you're doing. Once again, people can give $6 or more if they go to AFR.net. And what's the telephone number they could call again?
It's 877-616-2396.
Hannah, keep up the good work. God bless you. We're so happy to have you on today to talk about this. And just, you know, look, I tell my audience all the time, there's plenty out there to be discouraged about if you want to let it discourage you. But there's plenty out there to encourage us. And what you're doing is one of those great encouragements, just what we need to hear as we start this Christmas season.
The Lord is at work. He is, you know, the light shines the most brightest when it's the darkest, right? And so we are confident that he is pushing back the bounds of the darkness. He is shining brighter. And this is an opportunity for us as his church, as his global church, the church across the world, to rise up for truth, to rise up for hope, and to reach the next generation.
The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So,
amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Keep shining that light, Hannah, because it's shining very, very brightly, believe me. So God bless you. We'll keep encouraging people to support what you are doing, okay? And hope we have a very, very successful, not only Christmas season, but year-round effort at helping these children. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Well, folks, we'll be back to continue our discussion. I know I got kind of off on affirmative action, but there's some other issues that I do want to raise with you. But in the meantime, the number is 888-589-8840, and I'll be coming to your call shortly after we return.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Paul writes in the book of Romans, "For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." Let me tell you a story. The young man walked into the service station. Seeing his friend who owned the station in the rear, he yelled out, "Hey, Sam, how's business?" And from the back of the station came the reply, "As usual." Sitting down next to the phone, the young man yelled out again, "Mind if I use your phone?" "No, go ahead and help yourself," came the reply. The young man picked up the phone directory, thumbed through his pages until he came to the correct page. Placing the directory next to the phone, he dialed the number. About that time, the owner of the station walked up and sat down next to him. "How you doing with that new boat and motor, Bob?" asked the owner. "Folks been telling me they've been seeing a whole lot of old Bob Smith out at the lake hauling in the big uns. Sure sounds like you're getting your money's worth out of it," Sam continued. Bob's party on the other end of the line had answered, and by that time he held up his hand, motioning for Sam to be quiet. As Bob started talking, Sam noticed that he was disguising his voice to keep from being recognized. Wondering what it was all about, Sam listened closely to the conversation. "Is this Woodruff's store?" asked Bob in the disguised voice. From the other end came the reply, "Yes, it is." "Could I speak to Mr. Woodruff?" Bob asked in the muffled tone. "This is Mr. Woodruff speaking," said the party on the other end. "Mr. Woodruff, I was wondering about a possible job with you. Several months ago, I saw an ad of yours in the paper where you said you needed someone to work there in your store as a salesman. I have some experience as a salesman, and I believe I could do you a top-notch job," Bob said as he continued to use the fake voice. "I'm sorry," Mr. Woodruff replied, "but the job has been filled for about 6 months now. A fellow by the name of Bob Smith contacted us, and we hired him right away." "Is that right?" Bob continued. "Sure hate that. Would have loved to have worked for you. Maybe this Bob Smith fellow isn't doing too well, and you could let him go and let me have that position," Bob asked while Sam stared at him with puzzlement. "No, I'm afraid I couldn't do that," Mr. Woodruff replied. "Bob Smith's doing us a real fine job. Fact about the business is that he's one of the best salesmen we've ever employed." "Well, I appreciate talking to you, Mr. Woodruff, and I may call you again in the future," Bob said as he hung up the phone. Now, Sam couldn't wait to ask the question. "What in the world were you doing? I thought you'd been working down at Woodruff's for about 6 months now," said Sam. "I have," said Bob. "Then why in the world did you call about a job and talk in an unnatural voice?" asked Sam. "Well, Sam," said Bob, "you might say I was just checking up on myself." You know, I guess that's something we all need to do pretty often.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Do you wonder how in the world is it that areas of our culture that should be the most traditional, the most conservative, like our businesses, have become so polluted with political correctness and with this far left thinking, this woke thinking? It's because of two things. One is they're all educated in the same institutions. Now, I have to admit I was educated in one of those institutions as well, but I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. I got saved while I was at Harvard Law School, and I think that saved me from being indoctrinated, because I found myself often at odds. You know, I talked to one of the professors who later came to the law school, because I stayed in touch with some of the people there. Mary Ann Glendon was a professor at the law school. She later was appointed by President Bush, I believe, as ambassador to the Vatican. And I had a chance to talk to her one time at the law school, you know, just as friends. I was no longer a student there. And I said, how is it? What do you, because I knew she was conservative. And she said, "Oh, my goodness gracious," she said. And folks, this was back in the early to mid 90s. So a good, 25 years ago. And she said, "I am like a pariah because I am a person of faith. And because I am pro-life, they act like an alien was dropped down from some distant planet and placed here in Harvard Law School, who really has no business being here, because if this alien had any sense, this alien wouldn't be walking around believing in God and wouldn't be pro-life. And she said, it's terrible. She said, and I feel it. I mean, as she said, it's not like, oh, you know, nobody really cares. Oh, they care and you can tell. And that's the atmosphere. So the first thing is this indoctrination that happens in these major universities. And the second thing is the mob mindset. If you want to be accepted, you better go along. If you want to be accepted, you better get with the program. And, you know, thank God, I guess I'm just one of those people. I just don't care about, you know, about that kind of acceptance. I care about God's acceptance of me and God being in sync with and in compatibility with Almighty God. And I just figure the rest will take care of itself. But if you don't have that, then what do you have to stop you from yielding so you can keep your job, or yielding so that you will be accepted by your colleagues, or yielding so that you can get the promotion or the recognition that you want? And when this stuff gets into the corporate world like this, and by the way, let me mention one other thing about this whole NASDAQ affirmative action push. Notice what they didn't list: Christians. Because most of that stuff that they're talking about is about recruiting people who have a distinctly anti-Christian worldview, most of it. Now, not necessarily when it comes to race or ethnicity, obviously, but it's clear that they're looking for people who share their godless worldview. That, I mean, that's quite crystal, because remember, it's a racial minority. They said they wanted you to have a racial minority or a lesbian, gay, transgender, queer. And they use the word queer, which means that, you know, it's letting you know that they are with it. We are really in the forefront of this movement. So look, a couple of other things and I'll come to the lines. You know, this is related to what we've been talking about too, because what is happening is the politics of the country is pulling the nation farther and farther and farther left. So you got NASDAQ reflecting that now. But I was thinking, Obama, when he was elected, I saw him as about as crazy as you can get out on the left. And I still think he is, by the way. But guess what? AOC and Ilhan Omar and Presley, and they're crazier. Because he said, you know, you don't want to say defund the police because you lose a lot of people who don't want the police defunded. They're all over him saying, well, we need the police defunded because we need to save people's lives. I mean, please, you know, if these people were interested in saving people's lives, they'd be out there protesting every day about the young people killed daily in street crime in the inner cities across this country. So I don't even want to hear that nonsense, but it just goes to show that Obama now looks moderate in light of their far left politics. And you know what? I believe that they're going to soon look moderate. In other words, it's going to keep pushing the envelope until finally we end up, unless we stop them, we end up in a communist society. That's where this is all headed if we don't head it off. And you don't think these people care about our Constitution, do you? You don't think that they care about our Judeo-Christian values? They make clear they don't even like free enterprise. I mean, they disdain free enterprise. The notion of private property, the notion of private investment. And, you know, Obama, remember Obama famously said, you didn't build that. That's where it's going if we don't stop them. And the only way we can stop them is with strong, forceful arguments and at the ballot box. We don't want to have to think about any other possibility. I don't even want to contemplate it, to tell you the truth. Georgia is critical. If Georgia goes down, we've got a problem. We have got a major problem, and I don't need to go into the details on that. I think that's obvious. Hewlett Packard's moving from California to Texas, which sounds good, but then I thought to myself, how many employees, how many crazy California wackos are they taking to Texas with them? Because Texas is already having a problem. And I had somebody say to me yesterday that if we don't figure out what to do about this trend, they will take over, because they are infiltrating every jurisdiction and moving every jurisdiction more and more to the left. And finally, you all know that they're admitting that 10 to 15% of the people who take these vaccines, they're finding they do have significant symptoms short-term, 2 to 3 days, symptoms like they have the disease, they have to stay home, achiness, coughing, and what have you, fever, not necessarily high fever, but a fever. And they said they don't know the long-term effects. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from taking the vaccine. I'm just reporting what the news says. So they know that there's some short-term effects. They don't know the long-term effects because obviously this has been rolled out very, very quickly. And I'm sure there's some people who are going to pause in light of that. So let's see, folks. Let's see if I can get myself together here. We had a little technical problem to start out, but we have recovered nicely. And I believe right now, the number again is 888-589-8840. And I believe we've got Wesley from Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Going along with what you're saying, I don't know if you saw the other day that a big group of CFOs of some major corporations came out and publicly said, well, Joe Biden won't really be able to raise the corporate tax to 28%. And it's like, God, are you kidding me? You know, he will absolutely be able to do that if he gets power. You know, they're trying to make themselves feel better because they dumped millions of dollars into a Biden-Harris administration who has made their message clear from the get-go where they stand with business growth and corporate America businesses. And instead of doing that, they should have been campaigning for a President Trump who's been the most pro-business growth president we've ever had. And it's just, you know, these CFOs, their job is to create and maintain a healthy financial situation for their company or their organization they represent. You know, I heard a CEO got fired because he said he's tired of wearing a mask. They ought to fire some of these CFOs because that's just, you know, they're not doing their job. You know what I mean?
Wow. Well, you look, Wesley, let's face it. They are the useful idiots that Lenin or Stalin or whoever first said it. They are the useful idiots that they were talking about. These Wall Street went overwhelmingly for Joe Biden. Overwhelmingly for Joe Biden. And it is just the craziest thing because they empowered AOC. They empowered all of these other, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse were all empowered. Every leftist has been empowered. Bernie Sanders. And they don't like these people. They don't like capitalism. They don't like free enterprise. They don't like Wall Street. And yet you get these idiots who support these people. It's the craziest thing. Same thing with big tech. And so they're so indoctrinated that they can't see straight. And they don't know if these people had their way and really got the power to do what they want to do. You're right. I don't know that there's any limit to which they raise taxes. I really don't. Because I think they want, what they really want is to confiscate property and redistribute it. And as much as they can take, they'll take in order to put it where they think it can best be used. Thanks for the call, Wesley. We'll be back in a moment.
Friendships is offering an extraordinary opportunity to young men and women who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you'd be interested in? Learn more about Seahawks' one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins January 11th.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Here's a great thing to consider doing right now before the end of the year. Call MediShare and find out just how much you would save by switching to MediShare, the affordable alternative to health insurance. When you call, you'll get some good news and probably be very happily surprised too. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. It's so worth it to at least find out. And you'll see why more than 400,000 people are already members. MediShare is a Christian community that's shared more than $4 billion in each other's healthcare costs. It really is remarkable, and they're very easy to talk to. And here's the thing. If you join before the end of the year, they'll waive your new member fee. That's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second. The call, and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st, so call now. You'll save even more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
I think we get confused sometimes because, you know, Revelation 1:7 says every eye will see him, even those who pierced him.
John Burke on Focus on the Family Minute.
Paul, remember, was Saul? And he was killing Christians. When he sees the same brilliant God of light and love on the Damascus Road, that didn't mean that Paul was right with God. And that's the same with people who experience this God of light and love. Just because they experience him doesn't take away their free will or their decision, whether they will seek him and come to faith in him. So Jesus, notice, doesn't give the gospel to Paul. Instead, what he says is, go into the city, you'll find out what you should do. Then Jesus leads Ananias to Paul. Why? Because that's always been God's MO. He uses people to love people enough to tell them what God has done. Because it is all about love.
Hear more from John today at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Now, I'm curious, because you all haven't commented much on this vaccine, the fact that they say, well, we don't know what the long-term effects will be because we don't have time to study long-term effects. We'll find out as time goes on, but we know what the short-term effects are. Does that deter you at all? Most vaccines carry with it the potential to make a person a little bit ill with the amount of the disease. If this is following the same approach, the amount of the disease with which you are, which is injected into you to help your body build up immunity. So this is perhaps no different in that sense, 2 or 3 days of maybe some discomfort and maybe feeling like you've got it. But long term, we just don't know yet. Does that change your mind about how you would approach this vaccine at all? Or I guess a lot of you are still thinking about that. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Love to have your thoughts on. And by the way, Wesley from Georgia just commented on the craziness in the corporate world today, which, again, it's surprising, but in the sense that these people have been indoctrinated in the same schools, we should not be surprised that they think the same way, even though their thinking is completely counter to their own interests, and frankly, they're too educated to know it. Or maybe we should say too indoctrinated to know it. They don't know that they are acting counter to their own interests and don't even know it. But as always, I think when you become wealthy and you are influential and, you know, you have everybody around you telling you how great you are and everybody agreeing with we're so smart and we're so morally superior to everybody else, it can be kind of hard to see truth in the midst of an environment that is just pervasive with falsehood. And I guess people in the corporate world are no less susceptible to that than anybody else. People who are wealthy, people who have, you know, advanced degrees and they're scientists and they're intellectuals and they're this and they're that. But they don't realize they are far more vulnerable to being misled because hubris and pride and a sense of one's own superiority, as the Bible says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And so they don't realize they're closer to destruction then they know, because their pride is walking them right into it. So it's a little bit surprising. And I'd say one more thing, and then we'll come right to the phones. I am convinced, absolutely convinced of this. All across this country right now, Christians are being discriminated against. Or if they are not being discriminated against, it's because I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians. If they're not being discriminated against in corporate America, it is because they're not known. And they've decided to keep their mouths shut in order to avoid the persecution that they know will come if somebody realizes this is a Bible-believing Christian who goes to a church that teaches that marriage is a union between one man and one woman, or this person is pro-life, or if they know any of that kind of stuff about you, you could lose your job. And I guarantee you there are Christians probably across the country right now who have lost their jobs or have lost promotions. In some cases, they have been discriminated against and don't even know it. Because once who they are is learned in some circles, they just automatically put the kibosh on them and say, well, he's not one of us. He doesn't fit in. She doesn't fit in, you know. They've got those traditional kinds of views. And at some point, I think that scandal that's going on across the country is going to come to the fore, is going to rise to the surface. And at that point, I think it's going to be a job for the Attorney General to address the civil rights of Christians being violated in the corporate world all across this country. Because when they make these pronouncements that transgenderism and homosexuality and all of that are par for the course for us, that this is what we want, this is what we're looking for, they're saying to Christians, and if you don't like it, you better keep your mouth shut. Don't come in here with any of this marriage is a union between one man and one woman stuff, because your boss has already spoken that that's not the way our company thinks. Again, 888-589-8840. Well, we've got two Wesleys. Let's see. Yeah, we've got, okay, we got two Wesleys. We just had a Wesley from Georgia. Now we've got a Wesley from Mississippi. Wesley, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Wesley. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Say, listen, I've got something I just want to say about this corporate thing. I wasn't going to say this, but I will. I came out of the corporate world myself, and I've been retired now for about 15 years. I think one thing that has happened, especially since I've been out of the company, I was in one of the Fortune 500 companies. But anyway, one thing that's happened, my age group, I turned 70 this year, my age group now is being passed over, and you've got real young guys and girls coming into the organization on corporate levels, and what they're doing, they're bringing that kind of thought process and the things that they want to pursue and that we would not pursue if we were in that position. So if that makes any sense, just by attrition, things have just rolled over where now you've got that attitude with all these people in there. The other reason I called primarily called you is to tell you this. I get down so quickly now. I'm disabled, and I get down. I get to think about things. I can't do what I used to do, and I got to be honest about it. If it were not for your ministry on this 1 hour in the afternoon, I'm telling you right now, I would be so depressed, I don't know what I could do. So I want to thank you for helping lift me out of some of the gutter I get into, worrying about things that I can't do anything about anyway. That's all I had to say. I don't want to tie up your time, but thank you.
Well,
thank
Wesley, I
just love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Wesley. I can't thank you enough for that. That is so wonderfully encouraging for me to hear that. It really is. Thank you very, very much. I do appreciate it. Wow. Wesley, you've almost left me speechless, and that's not good for a radio talk show host. So let's go to Patsy in Arkansas. Patsy, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Patsy, how are you?
I'm fine. I've had a stroke almost 6 years ago, and I am always happy because I know who's with me, and that's the Lord. He takes care of me. And I Amen. Do love your show, too. But what I had heard until I called in was about the, were you going to take the vaccination for the virus? And everybody I know, friends from church and my neighbors, everybody I know, says they're not going to take it, and I wouldn't take it either. And then the pneumonia shot vaccination made my arm hurt so bad, the one that's for old people. It swelled up and turned red. It was almost as big as my leg. That's what one of my neighbors says. That's what it did to her husband, and nobody knows why. I believe it was an allergic reaction. But the doctor at the emergency room said it wasn't an allergic reaction, and my doctor said my body just reacted when needles were stuck in it. I don't know how many needles that young man thinks have been stuck in this whole body, but anyway, only God knows what it did to me. But about the other stuff, you know, about Christians being persecuted in this country, it's just very, very sad, because this country was founded on the fact that we loved God and wanted to live in a place where we could worship God, be free, and, you know, work hard and make something of ourselves, and everybody could make something of themselves.
Amen.
And now, you know, unless you're weird or you're a Democrat or you're, you know, have bad ideas, you don't have much of a chance anymore, I don't think. And that's very sad to me, very, very sad.
Well, Patsy, look, with God, all things are possible, and that's what that's why we put our trust in Him, because it's obvious we can't put our trust in the government, as important as it is, but we as constitutional conservatives also believe that government ought to be limited for precisely that reason, because it can do as much damage as it can help. In fact, it often does more damage than it does help. So, but look, you know the old song, folks. Forgive me if it sounds somewhat cliche, but our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So thank you for the call, Patsy. Let's go to John in Mississippi. John, welcome.
I see we're getting short on time. I just want to say I was born in this country, and I love this country. And it's so sad where it's possibly going. If Joe Biden gets elected, heaven forbid, if he does, and this country looks like it's going to communism or you know, all that stuff, what is your opinion, if you have to leave this country, what is your opinion of going to Israel?
Oh, wow. Wow. That's very interesting, John. That's the first time I've ever been asked that question. Hey, John, thank you for the call. You're right, I'm a little short on time. Man, I have to think about that one. I love this country so much. I can't imagine leaving. I mean, man, I can't imagine leaving. I don't know, folks. that's a really tough one. I just can't imagine leaving this country. I think you'd have to drag me kicking and screaming out of here. So, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Nick in Texas. Nick, welcome. Nick, are you there? You're the last call. All right. Wow, you know, that question that John asked me is, man, that's a profound question, because it conjures up all kinds of things in my mind. Let me go to what came to mind, to just be honest with you all. I thought to myself, if we got to a point, and I don't believe we're ever going to get to this point, so let's be clear about that. I don't believe we're ever going to get to this point. But if we got to a point where it was communism or fight, would I rather leave the country and go someplace like Israel or stay here and fight? Whew. Or, you know what? My first inclination is I think I'd stay and fight. You know, because I love this country, and I just think that it's something worth preserving. Like I said, though, I don't think we're ever going to get to that point. And praise God for that. He's still on the throne, and we are still His children. And I'm committed to this idea that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.